1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. Yes, if you would like to stand for the reading of the word, please do so. 1 Kings 19. Now, how much you amen today depends on how long I preach. So, if you amen me, we'll try to keep it to a pretty decent time. If you just sit there and stare at me, I'm going to preach for 2 hours. Amen. So get with me this morning. Amen. So 1 Kings chapter 19. If you have it, say amen. If you're still looking, say, I need to read my Bible. Nobody's going to be honest. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's go into the word of the Lord. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to you? He returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing that is on your word. I ask you now, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay to speak what thus saith the Lord to your people today. And Lord, be sure to give you all praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on a topic, it is time to burn the oxen. It is time to burn the oxen. Now, we pick up this story where we are introduced to a man named Elisha, son of Shaphat, and how we are introduced to him is Elijah just walks up to him and casts his garment upon him. But I want to give you a little bit of background why this had to transpire. You know, we talked about, I believe it was last week, about the clouds forming and how Elijah prayed 63-word prayer and fire fell out of heaven, and he took and he killed all the prophets of Baal, and then a great storm came and he ran before Ahab to Jezreel. Well, after that happened, Jezebel got word that Elijah had killed the prophets of Baal. So here's this man that had just prayed fire out of heaven, killed all these prophets of Baal, heard the sound of rain. Then Jezebel sent word to him, said, I'm going to kill you. And apparently she was a bad woman, because it scared him to the point that he ran and hid himself and started crying out unto God, you know, God, I'm the only one left. Nobody else is serving God but me, and all these things. And God spoke to Elijah and said, go find Elisha and anoint him in your stead. In other words, go find your replacement. Wow. You see, when God has something for us, but we start getting intimidated by the world, and we start getting intimidated by what God's called us to do, and people start talking about us, and people start running us down, and we begin to pull back from that. If we're not careful, God will raise up our replacement. Amen. Because God has a will that he wants to be accomplished on the face of this earth, and if we refuse to do it, guess what? God's always got somebody waiting. God's always got somebody else waiting that'll step up and do it. Amen. So we got to make sure as Christians that we do what God called us to do. We follow God's plan, because if we fail to do that and keep rejecting God's plan for our lives, keep rejecting what God has called us to do, God's always got somebody else. Amen. Saul was a king that God appointed over Israel, but Saul didn't want to follow after God. And all this time that Saul was king, God had a shepherd boy sitting out in the field. Hello? Amen. So God spoke to Elijah and said, go anoint Elisha in your stead. Go anoint your replacement. So Elijah set out to find Elisha. And when he found him, Elisha was plowing in a field. And this was nothing out of the ordinary. Elisha was just going through his usual routine. You see, the Bible says that there were 12 teams of oxen plowing in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th. This means that 11 teams of oxen were in front of him, and here he was, the 12th one, plowing in behind them. So when he looked ahead in his life, All he could see was the same thing he was doing over and over and over again. Elisha was at a place in his life that when he looked into his future, when he looked what was ahead of him, he didn't see anything different. And what a sad state it is to be when you see nothing about your life changing. You seem to be stuck in a routine of every time you look ahead, you just keep seeing the same old problems. You keep seeing the same old letdown. You keep seeing the same old issues after another, after another, after another. And it is a very frustrating place to be where you don't see how things are going to change. He looked ahead. All he saw in front of him was the same thing. He didn't see anything changing in his future. All he could see was the exact same thing he was doing over and over again. You see, he was basically locked in a routine because the ones that were leading him weren't showing him anything different. All 11 teams in front of him were showing him the same thing over and over and over again. So the only choice he had was to follow their example. Let me just go ahead and get real right here. There are a lot of people today that are wondering why people are living in certain lifestyles. They're wondering why they are bound in drugs. They're wondering why they're bound in alcoholism. They're wondering why they're bound in abusive relationships. It's because they have not been exposed to anything different. Daddies that beat their wives are generally going to raise up sons who beat their wives. If you grow up in a crack house or you grow up in a house where drugs is used and all that, the chances of you becoming a drug addict are greatly increased. Why? Because that is what you have been exposed to. If you grow up in a house that is impoverished, if you're not careful, you'll grow up and be an impoverished person yourself. Why? Because the example set before you has not shown you anything different, so you get locked in a routine of the same thing. That is why, I know we just dedicated that beautiful baby, but let me talk about this. That is why we as parents have such a responsibility, because you have to ask yourselves, if my kids grew up to be just like me, what kind of person would they be? Ouch. If my kids grew up to act just like me, and guess what? We are the example set before our families, so they will grow up and act just like us. Y'all don't have to shout me down while I'm preaching good. Amen. If they grow up, will they act just like us? I know we all act so sanctified, but there's times when your kids start acting up and we want to say, you acting just like your daddy. When our kids are good, my wife says, that's mama's babies. When my kids are bad, that's your kids. My kids don't act like that. Well, I didn't have them by myself. So when our kids start acting a fool and all that, we got to ask ourselves, what kind of example do we set before them? Do they see us acting like a fool? Do they see us throwing a fit? Hello? I'm going to get back up here. Amen. There are so many people today that are stuck. And for years, I wondered how people could get so stuck in things. And then years ago, I began to work in law enforcement, and I began to go into these places, and I began to see things. And it's really changed my perspective on a lot of things, because I was, how can people get stuck in lives like this? How can people be content to live like this? It is because they're not being shown anything different. That's the normal. That's the normal. Why are these kids, why are these young kids so bound up in all these things? It's because mom and daddy's bound. And when you have an environment where nothing different is being shown, it is a breeding ground for generational curses. It is a breeding ground for generational curses. Why? Because they begin to be passed on and passed on and passed on. Let me tell you something. There's things in your life that if you don't deal with, you can easily pass on to your children. Amen. There are people today that have bitterness and hatred for people that if they're not careful, they'll pass it on to their children. Now, let me just go ahead. Y'all already staring at me. I'm going to go ahead and get down in it. There are people today, if you put these babies in a room together, they don't know color. They'll play with anybody. They'll smile at anybody. They'll laugh at anybody. Why? Because hatred for your brother is you're not born with it. It's taught. Why? Because it is the environment that they're raised in. Amen. So, that's all right. If you don't like it, it's all right. You still got to love me if you want to go to heaven. Amen. So, I didn't say you had to like me, but amen. So there's an environment where things are taught, and people, all these things that people are struggling with today, if we're not careful, it's passed down from generation to generation. And the only way to break that is to be exposed to something different. Hello? Amen. He was locked in a routine of doing exactly the same things those before him had done. And the only way to break that is to be introduced to something new. So Elisha was locked in the mindset of following the same old path that those before him had done. And we even see this inside the body of Christ, that people get locked in the mindset of doing it the same old way. And that's why we have so many of our churches that are drying up to nothing. That in 10 years, because everybody in the church is so old and ornery, that in 10 years the church will close because they won't accept anything different. And if anything different comes in, they run it off. Amen. Amen. I preached at a church a while back, and I told them, I said, this church is a few funerals away from revival. Can you believe they hadn't invited me back? I don't know why. But I was like, this church is a few funerals away from revival. Why? You get some of these knotheads out the way, God can move. But even in churches, people get locked in this routine. Well, bless God, we've done it this way for 30 years. That's why y'all got 15 people and you've had them for 30 years. You know, and people say all these, well, this is just the way we've always done it. Yes, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who God is does never change. The principles of who God is will never change, but his methods change all the time. Amen. The principles of who God is will never change. But how we reach people and how we do ministry is ever-changing, ever-evolving. Amen. So Elisha was locked in the mindset of following everything that has gone before him. But as he was plowing behind his oxen, he was just going to be raised up to just keep doing the same thing over and over again. In his future, all he seen was the same thing over and over and over again. So here he is plowing with his oxen, just going through another day. You know, the problem with following a dumb ox is the view never changes. I'm going to leave that alone. So here he is, watching the south end of a northbound ox. Y'all are so too sanctified for me this morning. So here he is, plowing with his oxen. And all of a sudden, Elijah walks by him and just casts his mantle on him and keeps walking. Now, his mantle was like his jacket, his covering. He didn't say a word. He just kept walking. In those days, someone's mantle was symbolic of their anointing. It was symbolic of the anointing that they carried. Just like Moses' rod was what God flowed through, it was his mantle. You know, we read on later on in Scripture where Elijah took his mantle and he struck the waters and the waters parted. And so his mantle was symbolic of his anointing. He just walked by, throwed it on Elisha, kept walking, and did not say a word. Elijah throwing his mantle on Elisha was actually him exposing him to something different. This was a way of letting Elisha know, hey, there's more out there than what you've experienced. Can I tell you today, there's more out there. You know, some people have had bad experiences. Some people have had just horrendous experiences in life, but there's more out there. There's still some good men out there, ladies. Men, there's still some good women out there. Amen. You just got to be willing and waiting on God to find them. God ain't going to send them to you in the club. God ain't going to send them to you in the barroom. God ain't going to send them to you in the crack house. I mean, we got to ask ourselves, where are we looking for something different? Amen. You see, so many people get locked up in routine that they are unaware that there's more out there than they've experienced. You know, so many people are so locked in problems and distress and things in their life that they get to the point that they say, there's nothing left. What else is out there? It's just, I wake up to problems. I go to bed with problems. I wake up to sorrow. I go to bed with sorrow and all these things in my life, and people become hopeless. Y'all, I'm not speaking Greek this morning. There's people out there today that feel completely hopeless. There are people out there today that feel like nothing is ever going to change, that I've done too much, I'm not good enough, I've got too much baggage, I've got too much sin on my life. There's so much going on, I'm completely hopeless, and they're locked in these routines, and they're looking for it in the bottom of a bottle. They're looking for it in the end of a needle. They're looking for it with something they snort up their nose. But what they really need is Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have to be willing to expose them to that. We have to be willing to expose them to the Jesus that is on our life. And you can't do that while you're worried about getting your hands dirty. You can't do that while you're worried about your reputation and somebody talking about you because they see you. My Lord, Jesus, the Son of God, was by himself with the town prostitute. And we would have talked about him like a dog. Y'all ain't saying amen because you know you would have. We would have talked about him like a dog. Oh, he ain't no man of God. I wonder what kind of deal he trying to work up with her. You say, no, I wouldn't. You do it about preachers today. Hello? Preacher stops and gives somebody a ride that's a drug addict. I wonder what the preacher was buying from them. How do you know that? Because I hear it. Whoa, the preacher talking to them. He just don't know what kind of woman. Oh, if Michelle. I gave my sister a ride through town. And before I got back to the bank, somebody had called Michelle and said, I seen your husband riding with a blonde-headed woman. No joke. That happened. Oh, I done seen him. Mm-hmm. He ain't no man of God like he said. Like, I know some stuff. That's my sister, folks. It happens. So we've got to be willing to expose people to the Jesus that's in our life and not worry about what anybody else thinks, not worry about what anybody else says, because if we never spend our time with lost people, how do we ever expect to lead anybody to the Lord? And if we get so mad when sinner folks sin, people say, you know, people do things and say things, then they find out I'm a preacher. And they're like, preacher, I'm sorry. I'm not God. I'm not God. You don't have to be sorry about that. And they say, well, I didn't mean to offend you. I said, I'm not offended. They say, why don't that offend you? And I was like, why would I be offended when a sinner person sins? What else do we expect? Amen. Why do we get so holy and sanctimonious that when a sinner person sins, we're like, oh my God. And what do we expect? Jesus wasn't offended this woman was a prostitute. He called her out on it. I gotta love Jesus. Jesus said, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. Well, Jesus said, at least you ain't lying. He said, because you've had five husbands, and the one you shacked up with now ain't your husband. And then she got all spiritual. She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She got all holy. And she says, our fathers say we worship in this mountain. And you, isn't it funny how when somebody finds you, they cold hearted. She was shacked up and done been married five times. And then all of a sudden she's a preacher asking Jesus spiritual questions. Y'all don't think about stuff like that. Here she is. She's in a rough way. And then she runs back to the town and says, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. I can see her running through town going, I know you, and I know you, and your wife don't know I know you. And your wife don't know I know you. But come see a man that told me everything I ever did. And the Bible says many believed on her because of the change in her life. When God starts changing people's lives, and it is so visible, hey, there's no greater testimony than that you can't deny what's standing right in front of you. You know, the religious leaders hated Jesus, but they knew the man was born blind. And they said, we can't deny that he was blind and now he sees. See, there's something about when God does such a change in somebody's life that the world can't explain it away. They have to say it was God. And that is where true change comes from. We start speaking to these people. We start showing them the Jesus. We've got to expose them to something different. So Elijah exposed Elisha to his mantle. So many people in the body of Christ are content to struggle with the same problems, deal with the same situations, because they hadn't been exposed to anything different. So Elijah exposes Elisha to something different, but doesn't say a word. He keeps walking. And I pondered on that, and I was like, why did he just walk by him, throw his mantle on him, and keep going and not even say a word? And I'm going to show you what the Lord laid on my heart. Elijah understood it would have not done any good to tell Elisha there was a different way. He had to show him. He had to show him. When somebody is locked in a routine of the same thing over and over again, they're locked in a routine of self-destruction. They're locked in a routine of problem after problem after problem. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face. You ever tried to talk to somebody and it didn't take? If you're a parent, you've done that. Come on. Your children, it don't take. I said no. I said no. That's what I mean. Talk to somebody and it didn't take. So you can, Elijah knew that Elisha was so stuck in this routine. Watch this. That talking to him wouldn't do any good. He had to introduce him to something different. You see, folks that are locked up in routine or locked in generational curses or are used to life a certain way, it does you absolutely no good to tell them that there is a different way. That there is a way, a different way. And people today are the same as Elisha. They don't care how much of the Bible you can quote. They don't care how much of the Bible you believe. They want to know how much of the Bible do you live. You know, I can walk up to anybody and tell them I'm a Christian. That don't mean nothing if my life looks like the devil. I can go up to somebody and tell them I'm a preacher, but that does no good if my life don't line up with what God's Word says. You can run around and tell somebody all day long, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. And I had to ask somebody one time, are you trying to convince me or yourself? Because I'm a firm believer that if you're a Christian, you don't have to run around and tell everybody. Why? Because if you have to tell everybody, then there's a problem. People ought to be able to see it in your life. T.D. Jakes said one time, if you got to run around and tell everybody you're the boss, you're probably not the boss. Amen. I manage our bank, the bank. I manage the bank, but I don't have to run around and tell everybody I'm the boss, because I'm really not. Them ladies are. Some of them scare me. I'm just kidding. But if you got to run around and tell everybody you're a Christian, there's a problem. They should be able to see it in your life. They should be able to see it in your speech. They should be able to see it in your walk with God. They should see it in the way that you handle situations. They should see it in the way you treat your family. Amen. Don't come to me and say, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a man of God, and then you treat your wife like garbage. Y'all all right? Don't come and say, well, I'm a woman of God, but you treat your husband like garbage. How many times do we see it, and our kids see this, that we treat complete strangers better than we treat our own family? We can see somebody, oh, I'm blessed, God is good, how are you? And then get in your car and tell your wife, I hate you. You say, y'all laugh at that, but it happens in church. Y'all pull up in the parking lot going, I hate you back. Then you get out and you walk in the church. Good evening. How are y'all? Oh, we're so blessed and highly favored. And your spouse is looking at you. You just hated me 20 seconds ago. Oh, God bless me with a good woman. And she's over there gritting her teeth going, don't you touch me. We see it all the time. Folks, we got to show there's a different way. We have to show them through our lives. So Elijah knew that just telling Elisha, it wasn't going to do any good. He had to show him something different. T. Too many folks. I lost my spot. So Elijah knew that he couldn't get the attention of Elisha unless he showed him through his own life. But there's too many folks today that are trying to follow God, but at the same time, plow behind the same old ox they've always plowed behind. You see, you can't do these things for God as long as you're plowing behind that same old ox. You can't do what God wants you to do with that same old mentality. You can't do the things for God with that same old mindset. You know, I'm a firm believer that you got to see yourself doing it before you'll ever do it. You have to see yourself being a better man. See yourself being a better woman. See yourself coming out of debt. Why? Because when you see yourself doing it, then you start making the steps to make that come to pass. Just like Roxanne is in nursing school. She has to see herself becoming a nurse, so then she will study. She will go through all the stress and all the anxieties of that program. Why? Because she sees herself doing it. When you see yourself getting debt-free, guess what? You start making steps to do that. You got to see yourself being more than you are now. That's why so many people are locked trying to be different but still plowing behind the same old ox. I'm trying to do more, but my mind still ain't right. I'm trying to do more, but I still don't have everything figured out. I'm trying to do more, but I've always done it this way, and this is what's comfortable. I want to do better, but I want to keep doing the same thing I've always done. And I know I don't have any hair, but that makes me scratch my head. I think, you ever heard people that lost a limb and have phantom pain? I have phantom hair itching on my head at times. Y'all a tough room today. But anyway, people are trying to do better. And they have the real desire to want to live better. They have a real desire to want to have a better life and for their life to change, but they want to keep doing the same thing they've always done. Is that going to work? And when it don't work, people get aggravated and say, well, I guess it just ain't time yet. Had somebody tell me several weeks ago, said, I want to live for God, but I'm just not ready to give up certain things yet. And that hurt me. Why did that hurt me? Why? Because we serve a God that gave everything. We serve a God that gave his only son to die on a cross in our place. He gave everything, and we say, I'm ready to live for God, but there's a couple of things I'm just not ready to give up yet. Can I tell you something? If you have to give up something for God, I promise you he's got something a million times better waiting on you. If God tells you you got to give something up, give it up, because it's got to make room for something better. And many times we miss out on the better because we're holding on to that last little bit that we won't give up for God. And let me tell you something. The things that God asked you to give up for him are usually things that are hurting you. Things that are detrimental to you. Things that are going to end up making life more difficult for you. Amen. So Elijah introduced Elisha to his anointing, and he showed it through his life. When Elijah threw his mantle on Elisha, it was an opportunity for a life change. He could either keep plowing behind the same old oxen, or he could say, there's something more out there. You see, when you are introduced to different, if you stay the same, it's no longer because that's all you've been exposed to. It's a choice. Hello. When God has introduced you to freedom, but you choose to remain bound, it's a choice. Let me get you there. I know a lot of people say, well, I didn't choose to be like this. Well, when God introduced you to freedom, you chose to stay the same way. Amen. When you are introduced to better, going back is a choice. Amen. When you are introduced when God introduces you to freedom, because the Bible says he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and you go back to bondage, it's because you chose to. The devil didn't make you do it. Nobody made you do it. Well, you don't know how I was raised. Uh-uh, that's not an excuse anymore. Stop using a cop-out of how you was raised. There's a lot of people in here that was raised in horrendous homes. that you don't know about. But that's not an excuse. I have a good friend of mine who is a officer that was raised in a crack house. But is he a drug addict today? Absolutely not. Is he going and doing that just because that's how he was raised? He would wake up in the middle of the night getting beat because they was on drugs. 13 years old, had to learn how to fight because he'd wake up in the middle of the night, somebody sitting on top of him beating him. But he didn't use that as a cop-out to be able to say that, well, my life can just be in the gutter because of how I was raised. He did something with his life. Amen. When you are introduced to freedom, Elisha had a choice to make, just like each one of us has a choice to make. We can follow after God, or we can keep following that same old plow we've always followed. We can follow after God, or we can keep going through the same old routines. The Bible says, the scripture says that Elisha left the team of oxen, and he chased after Elijah. In other words, he set out to follow God's plan, but the oxen were still waiting on him. He left that team of oxen, and he set out to follow God. You see, he was at a place in his life where everything that he had ever known had been challenged. Do you know when God wants to grow you, he'll challenge you? And many times when God challenges us, we get mad. Well, I just don't know if I like that. I just don't know if I like that kind of music. I don't know if I like the preacher not preaching in a tie. I don't like this and I don't like that, and I don't like all this, all these new people coming to the church. I don't like all this diversity in our church. I love it. I don't know if I like all this diversity, and people say all these different things, and well that's just not the kind of church I'm used to. Well, praise God. Praise God. We need to show the devil something new. Why? Because he's got the old figured out. He's been the devil a long time. And he's got the old figured out. Sometimes you got to show him something different. Amen. Well, I'm just used to going to black church. And other folks say, well, I'm used to going to white church. People ask, what color is your church? Well, it's brown metal. Somebody asked me one time, said, I was going to preach at the little church behind the rabbit place. It used to be the Little House of Prayer. It's now called the Church of God. And somebody said, is that a black church or a white church? I was like, it's a white church. And we got there, and it's a predominantly black congregation. And somebody said, I thought you said it was a white church. I was like, it is painted white. You asked me, was it a white church? I was like, yeah, it's a white church. Why? Why? Because there should not be a black church and a white church. We're God's church. Amen. We're God's church. We're God's people. There ain't a black heaven and a white heaven. There's not a Pentecostal and a Baptist heaven. There's not a United Pentecostal and a Methodist heaven. There's one heaven. Amen. There's one place we're all going. And let me say this while you're clapping. If you have a problem with that, you're probably not going to make it. Amen. And also, if you have a problem with cutting up in heaven, do not live close to me. Because I can't sing a lick. But I asked God, I said, when I get to heaven, let me have hair. And let me be able to sing. So it's going to be going down for real at my house in heaven. So say, God, move me over about three streets over. Amen. So Elisha, and I'm getting ready to bring it down. Elisha was at a place in his life that he could either revert back to what he had always done, or he could chase what he had been exposed to. You know, I believe there's people in this room today, is why God gave me this message, that you got a choice to make, that you can really sell out and follow after God, or you can revert back to what you've been doing. And it's a choice that you have to make. Just like Moses asked the children of Israel, he said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. There comes a time that we have to make a choice and say, okay, I'm not going to go back to what God brought me out of. I don't have time to get into it, but the Bible says that when you go back to what God brought you out of, it's like a dog returning to its vomit. So we can't go back to what God brought us out of. We got to start chasing what God has for us. This was a destiny decision. You see, once you've been introduced to your destiny, you have to decide then, is all the decisions I'm making helping my destiny or destroying my destiny? Have you ever asked yourself, how will this decision I'm making affect my destiny? If you will ever get to the point in your life that you'll start asking those questions before you make decisions, you'll see a change in your life. Amen. You think somebody that goes out and cheats on their wife, if they would say, how is this going to affect my marriage? How is this going to affect my children? How is this going to affect my destiny? How is this going to affect my pocketbook when I have to pay child support for the next 18 years? Y'all grinning, but that's the truth. You start asking yourself them questions, you're going to be like, nah, it ain't worth it. Nah, it ain't worth it. Because if you begin to ask yourselves about destiny decisions, how is this going to affect my destiny? Well, if I go out and buy this new car, am I going to have to struggle to pay my house note? Am I going to have to tell my kids no every time they ask for a toy at Walmart? Am I going to have to say, no, we can't go out to eat, but I got that new car? No, I can't hardly pay the light bill, but I got that new boat. No, I can't pay my tithes, but I like my new tractor. Hello? No, I can't do right this week, but look at this Prada purse. Look at this Michael Kors stuff. I live in a house full of women, y'all. I have to buy all that stuff. No, I can't do this and I can't do that, but look at this. And we have to ask ourselves, every decision that we make, is it a destiny decision? How is this going to affect my destiny? And I'm not talking about if the light turns green, you know you're supposed to go. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about destiny decisions. So Elisha catches up with Elisha. Elisha catches up with Elijah and tells him, wait, let me run back and tell my family goodbye. And he's decided to follow God's plan. But he says, I'm going to leave everything I've ever known and follow God's plan. I'm going to walk away from everything that I've been exposed to my whole life and follow God's plan. You know, sometimes when you follow God's plan, it brings separation. I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again. If you're going to Hattiesburg, you can't ride in a car with somebody going to Tollertown. Why? Because they're not going to the same place as you. There comes a time in life that you have to sever some relationships to follow after God. You know, if there's a person trying to be clean and get and change their lifestyle, they can't hang out with somebody that's always doing drugs. Why? Because that's going to be a pull to pull me back into that lifestyle. I may have to sever that relationship. Don't mean I don't love you no more. Don't mean I won't be here for you if you need me, but I can't run with you anymore because we're not going the same place anymore. And we have to decide. Elisha said, I'm leaving everything I've ever known, and I'm chasing after God. And that wasn't an easy thing to do. Sometimes God brings separation from things, separation from people. And you have to say, if you want to do your thing, do your thing. But that don't mean I have to follow. You will miss God. If you don't hear nothing else I say, hear this. You will miss God if you're waiting on everybody around you to buy into it. Why? Because it's your vision. It's what God spoke to you. You don't need everybody else to validate it. Don't miss God waiting on everybody to buy into what you're doing. I've come to the realization, and it was hard for me to get there, that not everybody wants to change. Not everybody wants help. I used to think that everybody was out there just wanting help, but there are people out there that I have preached to and talked to and tried to help over and over and over again, bent over backwards to help, and every time you see them, they're back in that same routine. And some of our law enforcement sitting in the back can attest to that you bend over backwards to help and help and help. But it's like they don't want to get out of that routine. But don't let that stop you from trying to help, because there's some out there that won't help. There's some out there that want to change, and they're serious about it, and God will completely change their lives. We have living testimonies of that here in our church, of the lives that God has changed. So let's move on. Sister Beverly, would you come? So Elijah catches up with Elisha and tells him, let me run back. But watch this. On the way back, to tell his family goodbye, he sees that team of oxen standing there. And he said, oh, that's something that could draw me back. That's something waiting on me to pull my past back. You know, if you're not careful, that past is always sitting there waiting on you to pull you back. And I've seen people before that were addicted to pain. They were addicted to self-destruction, relationships, and things that were destroying their life. And I'm like, why are you so addicted to pain? And someone said one time, said, because pain always promises to come back. Wow. When other folks and other things leave and don't come back, pain always promises to come back. And people become so addicted to destruction and to pain that it always promises to come back. So Elisha is headed back and he sees those oxen standing there. And he says, I got to get rid of anything that could pull me back to this old lifestyle. I got to destroy anything that could pull me back. And the Bible says he takes the yoke and he breaks it up and he uses it for wood. And he kills the oxen and he cooks them. In other words, he says, I'm going to kill and destroy anything that could draw me back. I'm going to cut away. I'm going to burn it. I'm going to destroy anything. The Bible says he cooked the oxen and he gave it to the people and they did eat. Let me throw this in there. There's always somebody willing to eat what you're trying to get rid of. Always somebody willing to eat what you're trying to get rid of. The oxen represented old life patterns, old thought patterns. And he said, I got to destroy these if I'm going to follow God's plan for my life. He was willing to destroy anything that could draw him back. He was willing to destroy anything that could draw him back to ordinary or to routine. Elisha tasted something different. And he said, I'm going after it with my whole heart. The scripture teaches us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When you experience freedom and you experience happiness through a relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing else will suffice. Nothing else will do. Even though the other folks in the field wanted to keep plowing, even though the other folks in the field wanted to stay there, Elisha said, I can't. I can't. He said, I got to burn the oxen. I want to tell you today in closing, it's time to burn some oxen. It's time to burn some oxen. It's time to burn some things that are pulling you back to old life patterns, old thought patterns, old way of doing things that are keeping you from following after God. Following God's plan for your life. Because as long as they're still there, there'll always be that draw. There'll always be that way out. There'll always be that escape. When it gets hard following God, when it gets tough to stand on your own, that's always there to run right back to. You got to destroy those things in your life. You got to destroy the things that have that pull to pull you back. You got to let them go. Because you can't follow God plowing behind that same old oxen. It's not going to work. You got to be willing to really make a change. You got to be willing to say, if it costs me everything, I'm going to follow God. If it costs me everything, I choose God's plan for my life. And I'm willing to get rid of anything that's going to pull me back. Would you stand with me this morning? Everyone, bow your head, please. And I feel like there's people in this room today. I don't know who you are, but I feel like there's people here today that you want to do what God wants you to do. You want to follow God's plan, but there's always that pull on you. There's always that pulling you back to the former life. That pull is just pulling you back to away from God, pulling you back into old rituals, old routines. And I want to tell you today, today's the day to burn some oxen. Today's the day to let go of some things and say, okay, I'm going to burn these oxen and I'm going to follow after God. I'm going to destroy whatever it is that's trying to pull me back, whatever it is. I refuse to just walk plowing behind this same old ox. And there's more out there. There's more that God has for me. If you'll say that today while no one's looking around, if you just lift your hand up and say, that's me today, preacher. Amen, amen, amen. Hands going up all over the congregation. I'm going to tell you something. There's freedom today. There's freedom.